Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
And we're now going to be crossing over to Seth Frantzman, who's a Middle East analyst and former research associate at the Rubin Center and a lecturer in American Studies at Al-Quds University. Good afternoon, Seth.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for making time to join us this afternoon. So I know it's been throughout the day, obviously the news has been developing, but maybe you can just give us an overview of what actually took place this morning.
Well, there were two separate bombings at the entrance to Jerusalem. One of them targeted a very large bus stop and hitchhiking station that's just at the very entrance to the city. That bombing killed one teenager and wounded another 10 or 12 people. And then there was a second incident. That was around 7:05 in the morning. The second incident was about 7:30 or so. It was down near an area called Remote, but it was actually at a highway interchange somewhere, and I think it also wounded several people. So these seem to be both timed, remotely operated explosive devices, obviously to indicate terrorism. And I think the devices were packed with nails and other types of things. I mean, I went to the site and we saw some of the debris and stuff that was scattered around. So they were trying to wound and maim people.
Wow. And there were reports of a third bomb. Was that incorrect or was that
seen that report, but I mean, it's entirely possible. I mean, it was a bit of a chaotic morning, but I think what we're hearing now is, you know, one person has been killed and I think, to 20 injured, but of the injured, I think several was critical, and then, you know, there's some light injuries.
And do we know who was responsible for the attack?
No, we don't know at the moment. It's been praised by a group that's called Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which is a group that's backed by Iran. And Hamas has said that, you know, Israel is responsible for this because of tensions in Jerusalem. But I think between those two statements is not, I don't think we've seen much else. Obviously, the ability to explode a remote bomb of some sort, you know, speaks to complicated planning and some expertise, because it's not just a lone wolf stabbing attack or even like a shooting attack.
Yeah, absolutely. And are Israelis or is the government concerned that this is a new wave of terror attacks, or do they seem to be just an isolated incident?
I don't think we'll know if it's a wave, you know, next 2 days or next week, because maybe there'll be more. But I think that, you know, there has been a lot of violence in the last year. In fact, something like 120 Palestinians have been killed. You know, many of them are men, but civilians as well. And there's been a number of Israelis killed as well. So I think there's been a lot of low-level incidents in the last year, and it's not always generally seen necessarily as a lot of terrorism, but in fact Israel is conducting an operation literally called Breaking the Wave over the last 6 months. So that's an ongoing operation, and there's supposed to be a new government soon as well.
Yeah. So how is Israel responding to this attack today?
So far, I don't think I've seen any major responses, and I think they'll have to try to catch the culprit or figure out who's responsible. So that will obviously take some time, but I don't think we've seen much in the way of any real responses. I'm sure there's a lot of heightened security. I mean, we've seen that in the city. There's going to be a lot of alerts, I think, until they figure out how this transpired and who did it.
Yeah. And also, Israelis seem to be very resilient after these kind of terror attacks. It seems like the city still carries on. What is the feeling like in Jerusalem today?
Well, yeah, I mean, Jerusalem, you know, if you were at the scene of the terrorist attack itself, there were lots of onlookers and things. But I think that many people that are adults in Jerusalem, they grew up under, you know, the Second Intifada, and they suffered through what was called the stabbing intifada, where there was a lot of lone wolf stabbing attacks. And there's just, you know, there's an endless list of attacks that have affected the city. And there are less of them in the last few years, but that doesn't mean that there haven't been attacks. I mean, there's been stabbing, shootings. There was a bus bombing, I think, a decade ago or so. There was an attack on a yeshiva and a synagogue a few years ago. So I think the city is very resilient, and people are used to this. And they're, you know, there's a certain number of armed civilians and many people who are serving the armed forces. So people understand that, you know, the kind of dangers that exist.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's obviously the timing is not coincidental that Benjamin Netanyahu is busy putting his coalition together. Do you think it has something to do with that? And do you think it will affect, you know, his coalition moving forward?
I mean, there's a strange irony here, because if whoever planned it thought that they would set off a bomb in the entrance to Jerusalem and somehow that would help them out, I mean, they're going to end up with a much stronger government or a much more right-wing government. So I don't exactly see how that helps them, although there is this phenomenon where the extremists and the Palestinian movements feed off of the fact that they want there to be a more extreme government in Israel. So I think that this will certainly complicate matters for Netanyahu. It will fuel people's demand for more action. And I do think it may be time, because their Iranian proxies in the past have timed tensions and attacks around Israel elections, just like in May of 2021, where there was a conflict right after the election. It was a similar pattern.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen a lot of condemnation coming out around the world of different countries condemning the attack today, which is also quite heartwarming to feel that Israel does have that support behind it.
Yeah, I mean, most of the governments and stuff have condemned this. I mean, they should condemn, obviously, you know, attacks that are directed against civilians. So that would be the sine qua non, in a sense, of what they're doing. Hopefully they will also monitor any of the extremism or hate speech or whatever that leads to these types of attacks, but also how it is that the terrorist groups are able to access weapons and munitions and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Seth Frantzman, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, a Middle East analyst and former research associate at the Rubin Center for Research and a lecturer in American Studies at Al-Quds University. Thank you so much.